Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, friends and family, would like to once again welcome you to another episode, if you will, Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey, and I'm your host. Listen, I have a confession actually to start the show off. When I first heard the song, the theme music, when it's coming on, at first I thought, oh my goodness, like, you know, I wanted to pick a more upbeat, kind of more contemporary song. It was selected by our executive producer, James Brown. But the more and more I actually do these shows, the more and more it actually ministers to me. If you haven't noticed, he allowed it to play a little longer. And I actually have a great appreciation for it, because this is a time that we should be actually thinking about that holy lamb, that precious lamb of Jesus Christ that came into the world. He lived, he died, he rose for our salvation and our justification. We'd be remiss if we didn't take this time during December to focus on it. Now, I know some people are going to tell me that Jesus' birthday is really not in December. We don't find that it's consistent with the teachings of the Bible. However, some might also argue that Constantine was the reason why we began to celebrate a paganistic holiday, and some might actually give more depth to it. It's not that it was pagan, but Constantine intended for Christianity to spread. And so even not knowing the actual birth date of Jesus Christ, chose December 25th to celebrate his birth. Either which, however we look at it, I think God looks at the intentions of our hearts. And so as we're embarking on this holiday season, I would like for us to actually cast our attention onto the reason for the season. And make no mistake about it, it's not just a holiday. It should be a holy day. And the holy day is us thinking about the redemptive work that Jesus did on the cross for us. Listen, I don't want to go a step further without pausing right here and just having a word of prayer. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, we humbly come before you. We thank you for this time that you've given us to embark on a journey of understanding something about your word. I pray that something is said tonight that encourages us to look at your redemptive work, look at you, and decide to invite you into our hearts to receive you as our Lord and Savior. Perhaps in the telling of your story and how you came into this world and ultimately how you set the work in motion that allowed us to have our salvation, that maybe it might prick us in our hearts that we decide to live for you and to die to sin. God, we just ask that you be with us, you keep us, you guide us, touch those that are out there in the highways and byways that are dealing with bereavement, those that are having heavy hearts. Bless the elderly today, God, that they might feel a presence from you, feel your warm embrace. Touch those, Lord, who are struggling to feel loved during this time and this season. Oh, God, would you just hold us in your arms and let us know that you are still keeping us and that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. God, continue to give us a heart to serve those who are hungry and those who are homeless and helpless and those that have no clothes, those that just need a word from us or need to feel a kind deed as we are ambassadors of Christ to reach out to them and touch them. Continue to be with us, strengthen us, and guide us. We pray it also in the name of Jesus. Amen. Listen, before I actually go into the meat and crux of the show today, I want to ask that you continue to pray for our executive producer, James Brown. Continue to pray for his father in a hospital battling stage 4 cancer. Cancer is egregious, and we know that it has claimed many lives. We just ask that you pray for the family, and also just pray that, you know, God continues to move in the way that he moves. Sometimes he impart a blessing that blows our mind. We look at it in the natural, and we look at stage 4 cancer in the natural, and we say that there's no way, but God says, you know, he control ways. You're going to catch this in a minute, that he can make ways out of no ways. He can transform your no way into a way. Also, want to continue to pray for this young lady in our family. Her name is Jamie. I won't go into a last name because she's a minor child, but felt that there was an absence of love in her life coming from a particular place, and in darkness she sought to some depression by trying to set herself on fire, by setting herself on fire. Praise God that her life was not consumed in the fire, but damages were done, both psychological and physical. I just want you to, if you could remember, to continue to pray for them as well. That's really heavy on my heart. I'm also asking that we continue to concentrate, if you will, during this time, during this large political debate and different things that are happening in a political spectrum that may directly affect us, such as health care. We know that's on the agenda right now. We know our taxes, you know, different things that are going to transform how we live our regular lives. Let's pray for that. Let's pray that some way God raises up someone who's going to advocate for us and stand for us or give the leadership the proper set of mind state, if you will, to help govern us accordingly. I know it's a fairly long prelude into our night, and it kind of takes away from what we're going to talk about. But at the same token, I felt it was necessary. It's something that's pressing on my heart. I ask that you partner with me in prayer. Well, amen. Let's get right into what we're going to talk about tonight, and that simply is we're talking about the baby's father. I don't want that to be confused with the baby daddy. Now, I know some of us that are intro to the music culture and R&B or rap culture might remember when Trick Trick came out of the song, "That's Just My Baby Daddy." We're not talking about a baby daddy tonight, not just a baby daddy, but we're talking about the baby's father, the baby's father. And during this time, this season, We're talking about the most important baby that ever was. We're talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let us join, let us meet down in the book of Matthew, dealing with the first chapter. We're going to go to verse 18, from 18, and a few of the following verses down to perhaps 24, 23 or 24, and see how God tugs on our heart as we read. The Bible says, I'm reading from the ESV. Some of us might have a tangible copy. Some of us might have a virtual copy, but still free to join us. You might have a different version, but we'll be reading from the ESV. Still follow along with us if you can. The Bible reads, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. I want you to plug that right there in your mind, because it says specifically where Jesus came from, how he was placed right there in Mary. There's a lot of people that might argue about the Immaculate Conception, but here it is. If you take the Bible to be the inerrant word of God, the Bible specifically says how Jesus got there. It wasn't through the working of flesh, but the Holy Spirit placed him there. Let me continue. It says, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and willing to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. And here's a quote, verse 23, it says, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Understand that this is a quote taken from Isaiah, the 7th chapter, and I believe it's the 14th verse, Isaiah 7 and 14, direct quote. And Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. Understand that I just want to put a pin on this before we go a little bit further, because the Catholic denomination, they look at Mary and they hail her as virgin. And she was virgin during the Immaculate Conception, but we have to actually understand that virgin was only her designator up until that point, because the Bible strictly says, specifically says right here, that he did not know, he knew her not until she gave birth. So in other words, he actually knew her biblically, in a sense. They were intimate after, because Jesus had other brothers and sisters. So just a quick point of recognition here. Finish that last part of that verse. And he called his name Jesus. He called his name Jesus. Many people wrestle with the Immaculate Conception. They wrestle with the Immaculate Conception because we look at it in the natural sense, and we find that it's impossible that a woman would bear a child without having the working of the flesh, or without the actual man. How God actually set up procreation, understand, when you look at your child, you are not creating, you did not create that child. Man cannot create anything, but God actually assigned different parts of creation to man, and when man and woman come together to bear a child, it's called procreation. So of ourselves, we are not asexual, meaning that we don't need another sex to actually procreate, but in essence, we look at it in the natural, and it just don't make sense. It don't make sense to us. Only way it really kind of makes sense is when we look at this thing and we look at it in the context of God is able to do anything that he wants to do, because he's almighty, he's all-powerful, all by himself. So we look at this, and some people, naturalists, human secularists, they struggle with the concept of the Immaculate Conception. When I say Immaculate Conception, I mean the virgin birth. Mary was a virgin when she actually came up pregnant. Now, some of the evidence is found right here in the scripture. It said, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When Mary, she was engaged to Joseph, but before they actually came together, she was pregnant. Now, let's look at the baby daddy first. I'm going to deal with the baby daddy. I got that from Sierra. We was having a conversation, and we were talking about the baby daddy and the baby's father And it's pretty interesting because she said, now, God is the baby daddy. I like, nope, Joseph the baby daddy, but God, the father, is he's the baby's father. Just a little play on words there, but let's go further. So we know that was a virgin birth because of, look at the evidence in the scripture by Joseph's reaction. Now here it is. He has this woman. He's going to enter into marriage with her, but he finds that she's pregnant. They're not married, so let's not mistake this betrothed word. They're betrothed. They're promised to each other. And then she comes up pregnant. That's kind of hard to take. So his response, any noble man's response right there would be consistent with Joseph because he says, and her husband Joseph, being a just man, he was unwilling. He didn't want to put her to shame. He understood the consequences that it would take if he publicly shamed her. It meant not only would she suffer from the shame itself, but he loved her enough not to want her to go through what could happen by what she would be perceived to have done if the child was not of the Holy Spirit. During that time under the law, they could actually stone her to death. So being a just man, he just wanted to do it quietly. He wanted to just separate her from her quietly. So understand that his reaction is the evidence that we see that this was not a working of the flesh. He knew that she was a virgin. He held her as a virgin up until not understanding how it is that she popped up with a child. She's pregnant, right? But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord, there are some things that I need us to see right here because Joseph, not fully understanding what was going on here, he had to have some spiritual help to put some things in perspective. And I just want to pause and tell somebody, I know I'm not preaching and this is mostly talk, but I want to pause and tell somebody that there are some things, there are some physical workings in your life that you can't really understand. And if you trust and believe God and wait on him in due season, he'll give you a revelation to show you how his divine hand is working in your life. I almost feel like preaching for real. See, some of us get stuck and still, and we don't understand which way we need to go, what we need to do. God, why are you afflicting me, or why do I have to go through this? I could imagine. Come on, walk with me on this spiritual journey, if you will. Imagine how Joseph must have felt knowing that he was being an honorable man. He had not touched Mary yet. He did not know her biblically. He was waiting on her. He expected her to be waiting on him, and suddenly she's pregnant. Come on, fellas, I don't know if you east side, Detroit, west side, I don't know where you hail from or what you're thinking, but your girl pop up pregnant and you ain't touched her yet, we going to have some problems. Come on, don't make me get east side up in here. So many of us will, like, have a natural born fit, and notice I said natural. And there are some things that are naturally just out of whack in our lives that we need to get a divine revelation to understand exactly how God is operating in our lives. So notice here that the angel of the Lord came and spoke to David. I'm sorry, David. I said David. Spoke to Joseph, right? And so, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, look, he, first of all, acknowledged him as the son of David. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Angel of the Lord in his dream actually confirms to him that what is inside Mary is conceived from the Holy Spirit. That's very important to me because many people are going to argue with you. Do you actually believe that Mary did not have a baby father? Is that even possible? And so in the natural, we look at that thing and no, it's really not possible in the natural. But is anything impossible for God? See? So now let's go back to an atheistic argument. If the atheist can say that suddenly there was nothing and there was a big bang, pow, boom, suddenly it was a large explosion, and that explosion brought about the order, it brought about atmospheres, it brought about the heavens, if you will, it brought about space, and it put things in motion such as the orbit, and it allowed microorganisms to grow and evolve here. Can't quite articulate where certain things came from. Just know there was a big bang. Energy was in one place at one time and just bang. If you can believe that, how come we cannot believe that there was something bigger than us that set everything in motion? I would almost even buy the Big Bang Theory if you could sell to me where did the things come from that went bang in the first place. Okay, I'm drifting off into some of my other theological arguments. Let's get back to this baby here. But God, if he's able to create planets and atmospheres and create life forms and life systems and ecosystems and all of these different things that we have as we survey life around us, why is it so hard to believe that God was able to take himself, step out of heaven and allow himself to be placed inside of the womb of a woman so that he can come into the world to redeem us of our sin? Talk about the baby's father for a second, dealing with Joseph. What do we know about the baby's daddy, Joseph? Joseph was the actual one that God had entrusted. See, although we see that this is a surrogate situation on behalf of Joseph, understand that all children are a blessing from God. Some of us are taking these blessings and we're not dealing with them diligently. These seeds that God has given us called children, they're meant to be planted in fertile soil so that they can grow and be something awesome and amazing. They're supposed to grow into understanding God. And some of us take that, I question whether or not we should even be trusted with it, be honest with you. But I'm not God. I can't delegate who should and should not. But ultimately, understand that God had such an opinion, if you will, of Joseph, that he selected Joseph to be the one that would look after his seed right here on earth as he grew and as he developed. Now, we understood that he was a carpenter. We understood he was a noble man. He was a righteous man. At the time, felt that there was an injury against him that Mary possibly had committed. He didn't want to put her aside. So here we have a noble man. What kind of men do we have in our villages? What kind of men do we have in our modern-day marriages? What kind of men do we have? Are you the substance of a man that God would look at you and say, I trust you with a child? Because we have to always think that we all are potentially children of God, right? So I trust you with the blessing called the child that you have in your life. Come on, I didn't mean to preach, but you know, I just wanted to park right there and just give that. So Joseph was such a man that God had selected to be in charge of that. So let us look at this. Even though Joseph was as noble as he was, understand that he still was yet a surrogate father to Jesus. Let's deal with the baby's actual father. So who then is this father? Well, we say, is it the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit placed him there. I articulate to you that the Bible says many times that, you know, that the Father is the Father. The Bible teaches me in the book of John that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We understand that later on you look into that text that the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us. This is Jesus that we're talking about. And so, as we're talking about Jesus, if the Word is God, the Word was with God, and the Word is God, Jesus is that Word. Where did the Word come from? The Word comes from the Father. So here it is, and there we see how Jesus is placed inside Mary through the Holy Spirit. One of the things that we really need to look at and see from a theological perspective is the blood of the Father. See, understand that Jesus could not get his blood from Joseph. Why is that? Well, it's a natural fact, it's a biological fact that the baby gets his blood from his father. Now, a mother, she may or may not be able to give blood to her baby, but the father surely should be able to get blood to the baby. Why? Because the blood naturally comes from the father. Understand that sin, when it affected man, it affected blood. Somebody ought to write that down. When sin affected man, it affected our blood. And that is the reason why the blood could not come from Joseph. It had to come from a source that it had not been tainted yet. And so, therefore, the blood had to come from God and not man, because there was no man qualified after Adam's fall, there was no man that could even qualify but God himself. And so here it is, because sin affected the blood of man, understand that The Bible even says that by one man sin came into the world, and by one man we'll actually be redeemed of our sins. So it helps us to understand this point very clearly. So here it is. God allowed his own DNA. Watch this. You're going to catch this for a sec. God loves you so much that he sent his own DNA, divine DNA, never touched by sin, never ever tainted. And the reason why I know it's tainted, because Jesus is Savior. Huh? What that mean? What I'm saying is, if Jesus' blood had been tainted by sin, then he would be disqualified from being your Savior, because he would need somebody to save him. So because he was without sin, understand that no blood, no sin had to ever touch his blood ever, nowhere in his lineage ever. Now, we might argue like, well, if he was born of Mary, then did Mary contribute to his biological makeup? That's arguable, but one of the things that I can tell you from a naturalistic perspective and a medical perspective, there are some instances in which a mother can be pregnant with a child, right? I've heard instances where a mother has HIV, pregnant with a child. They have special ways that they have to deliver the baby, because the baby could possibly be delivered and still not be affected with the disease. You're going to catch this in a minute. That's because of the biological connection. I'm not saying it's not through the mother, but I'm saying that the blood is. It's very evident both in a spiritual as well as a medical and physical perspective. So we have the evidences right there. And so God saw fit to redeem man. He allowed this special baby to be born. So when we're wrestling with the Immaculate Conception, it sounds in the natural kind of difficult when you don't have faith to receive it. It is difficult in the faith to receive, but when you actually in the spirit, you kind of really understand that this is all about prophecy. See, God, time, space, continuum has no power over God. That's the reason why God was able to look down through the lens of time and was able to call to be those things that are not as though they were. One is he's either creating, or two, he's either letting us know what he see, because he exists already in that time. You're going to catch this in a minute. Oh, how do I know that? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's continually going to stay the same. And so understand that time has no context on him. God can look down through the lens of time and say, this is going to happen exactly at this time, exactly in this place, and this is what it's going to look like, giving us prophecy. So here we look, and the Bible teaches us that it says, verse 21, she will bear a son and call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins, and take and this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Notice we see an echo right here in verse 23 that echoes from Isaiah 7 and 14. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God with us. God is truly with us. God has come forward to give his only begotten Son, the best gift that you can ever receive. And so as we embark on this holiday season, I want you to think about that baby Jesus that came into the world, baby Jesus that grew up to bear your sins, baby Jesus that died on that cross. But I also want you to think about the love of the baby's father. Come on, somebody. I want you to think about the love of the baby's father, because the Bible says that God, come on, we're talking about the Father here, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The gift that keep on giving is Christ Jesus. The reason for the season is Christ Jesus. The reason why we are here today is because the baby came and grew up to give us redemption and salvation. But understand that love set all of that in motion, because the Father said he not only loved us, but he so loved us. He sent his Son into the world to save us and not condemn us. I hope that we're mindful of that during this season. This has been Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. I'd like to thank you for joining us again. And we're coming to you from Center of Spirit and Truth, where we champion the cause of Christ and truly seek to worship him in spirit and in truth. You can join us at 17609 Livernois in Detroit, Michigan, and we have service on Sunday at 11 o'clock. If you're looking for somewhere, please come out and join us. We'd be honored to have you in our family. In our church family. God bless you. God keep you.